approached a young man, a stocky fellow with a mailman's cap and a beer belly, wearing a down vest, and he looked at me as if I didn't belong in his space-time dimension. We had crossed over illegally. He made a rude incursion. I forced him to stop and face me. Asked him what had happened up there. As people kept filing past, he exhaled wearily. Then he nodded. His eyes steady on mine, full of gentle resignation. The plane had lost power in all three engines, dropped from 34,000 feet to 12,000 feet, something like 4 miles. When the seat glide began, people rose, fell, collided, swam in their seats. Then the serious screaming and moaning began. Almost immediately, a voice from the flight deck was heard on the intercom. We're falling out of the sky. We're going down. We're a silver, gleaming death machine. This outburst from the passengers is an all-code breakdown of authority. Confidence and command, presence, and it brought on a round of fresh and desperate wailing. Objects were rolling out of the galley. The aisles were full of drinking glasses, utensils, coats, and blankets. A stewardess pinned to the bulkhead by the sharp angle of the sense was trying to find a relevant passage in a handbook titled Manual of Disasters. Then there was a second male voice from the flight deck. This one remarkably calm and precise, making the passengers believe there was someone in charge after all. An element of hope. This is American 213 to the cockpit voice recorder. Now we know what it's like. It's worse than we'd ever imagined. They didn't prepare us for this at the death simulator in Denver. Our fear is pure. So totally stripped of distraction and pressure has to be a form of transcendental meditation. In less than 3 minutes, we will touch down. Bodies in some smoking fields, strewn about in the grisly attitudes of death. I love you, Lance. This time there was a brief pause before the mass wailing recommended. Lance? What kind of people were in control of this aircraft? The crying took on a bitter and disillusioned tone. The stewardess crawled down the aisle over bodies and debris, telling people in each row to remove their shoes, remove sharp objects from their pockets, assume a fetal position at the other end of the plane. Someone was wrestling with a flotation device, certain elements of the crew, and decided to pretend that it was not a crash, but a crash landing that was seconds away. After all, the difference between the two is only one word. That the two forms of flight termination were more or less interchangeable? How much does one word matter? An encouraging question under the circumstances. If you didn't think about it too long, between a crash and a crash landing, it seemed to be that you could sensibly prepare for a crash landing, which is exactly what they were trying to do. The news spread through the plane. The term was repeated in row after row. Crash landing! Crash landing! They saw how easy it was. By adding one word to contain a grip on the future, to extend an incompetence, not an after effect, they battered themselves for 4 points and fetal to their seats. It was at this point in the descent as the term crash landing spread through the plane, with a pronounced vocal stress on the second word, the passengers in first class came scrambling and crawling through the curtains, literally climbing their way into the tourist section in order to avoid being the first to strike the ground. There were those in tourists who felt that they ought to be made go back. This sentiment was expressed not so much in words and actions as in terrible and inarticulate sounds, mainly cattle noises, an urgent and force-fed lowing. Suddenly, the engines restarted. Just like that. Power, stability, control. The passengers prepared for impact, were slow to adjust to the new wave of information. New sounds, a different flight path, a sense of being encased in solid tubing and not some polyurethane wrap. The smoking sign went on, an international hand with a cigarette. Stewardesses appeared with empty towelettes for cleaning blood and vomit. People slowly came out of their fetal positions, sat back limply. 4 miles of primetime terror. No one knew what to say. Being alive was a ritual of sensation. Dozens of things, hundreds of things. The first officer walked down the aisle, smiling and chatting in an empty, pleasant corporate way. His face had the rosy and confident moment that he familiar with your aircraft. They look at him and wonder why they've been afraid.
Thank you.
you.